move forward with our next segment. And before we do, we want to do a little bit of a get-to-know-you segment here before we kind of go right into it. First, it's kind of an honor and a privilege to have WATD's Bobby Clark here. Bobby does a lot of great reporting. Tell us, for folks who don't know, give us a little bit of your background.
Well, I've been working for WATD since 2000 and was hired to report Plymouth News exclusively, which I have been doing essentially since then. Since then, others have joined the station and also help out reporting Plymouth News, because I believe that Plymouth is one of the biggest towns on the South Shore, and you could work every minute covering Plymouth News. So that's what I've been doing, and mainly I cover political news.
What would you say is probably some of the most interesting stories that you've had a chance to cover as of late?
Well, over the time, the 15 years that I have been covering Plymouth News, some of the most interesting things were the campaigns to have a mayor instead of a town meeting form of government. Mm. Another very interesting situation was Plymouth Rock Studios, which...
And where is that these days?
Well, you may the guest who is joining us today, Jerry Benezra, was instrumental in revealing many aspects of Plymouth Rock Studios, which turned out to be less than was presented as fact. And Plymouth Rock Studios, where is it today? It doesn't exist. But they, for... What would you say, Jerry? A year and a half or so? 2 years? They had the town of Plymouth enchanted, under a spell.
I think they had the South Shore enchanted. Well, because there were a lot of folks on the South Shore that saw, you know, the promise to what they were, you know, promising.
Hopes and dreams. Hopes and dreams. Yeah. So, Jerry, how long was it that charade went on?
It probably went on for almost 2 years. Basically, what they did is they sold the town a bill of goods, and they sold the various boards a bill of goods. And unfortunately, at the end, we were facing an I-Cube, which was a special program the state had. Plymouth would have been primarily liable. It grossed up to about $175 million we would have been liable for. So what we did was we gave them, through the boards, special zoning, I think it was a MEPA, that was worth about $110,000, and then we gave them some additional concessions for another 20. So they had no money. They then went to the market, and they said, gee, we've got $130 million worth of equity, but they couldn't sell it. It was kind of like the present case, you know, my experience in projects and fundraising and how courts operate. I saw a potential problem there, and it came out to be true. I don't know if you recall, there was a front page Sunday Globe spotlight team, full page, front page of the business section, went over into a half above the fold. So it was really clear what happens when things are done behind closed doors and you're not allowed to ask the questions that should be asked.
Okay. Now, you're an attorney. What type of law do you practice, Jerry?
Well, I'm
Jerry Benezra, correct?
Yes. Sorry? I tell people I'm a recovering lawyer.
Oh, okay.
I've actually tried to retire three times, but now I really am retired. So, but what I practiced basically was complex litigation, did a lot of appellate work, which gave me experience here, did a lot of projects, which is what gave me some background as far as Plymouth Rock Studios was concerned.
Okay. Now, the conversation that we're going to have, you're somebody who has been covering this and following this, so that's kind of why I'm relying on you, because you're somebody who has been following this, and we're actually going to see another chapter this week to it, but we'll get to that in a moment. And this is in regards to removing some gravel from the woodlot, and there's been a denial of giving a permit to be able to do this. Kind of take us through this.
I'll give you a little background.
Please do.
Last year, Kingstown Trucking applied to the Plymouth Planning Board for a special permit to remove 250,000 cubic yards of gravel from county property off of Long Pond Road, which is called the woodlot. the planning board heard the case and denied the special permit. In logical progression, that case then went to the Zoning Board of Appeals. So the Zoning Board of Appeals also denied the special permit. Now, in early summer, June, I believe, the case appears again on the Zoning Board of Appeals agenda, which is unusual because both the planning board have denied this special permit, the ZBA has denied this special permit, but mm-hmm. guess what? It is now again on the agenda for the Zoning Board of Appeals early this summer. So why? What was a reason that was given was that it was remanded back to the Zoning Board of Appeals by the court, and I believe for reconsideration. I believe it was then that Jerry became interested in the case. Correct, Jerry?
Yes, it is.
Well, Ed, so what? Why did you become interested in this case? What was some of the details that you said, you know what, something doesn't look right, something doesn't smell right?
Well, originally I had no horse in this race, hadn't really been following it, but I saw an article in the local paper where it said that a judge had remanded the case because there was some concern regarding the decision of the Zoning Board of Appeals. And that didn't sound right. I've handled a lot of zoning cases over 40 years. What usually happens is the court will issue an opinion and then will remand it and say, for further consideration by the board, consistent with this opinion. So I kind of scratched my head, and the next step was to go to the land court. Actually, I had a friend of mine go, so... He obtained a copy of some of the pleadings for me, and I noted that although it had been reported in the press that the judge was concerned and therefore remanded it, that was, shall we say, no, it wasn't just inaccurate, it was actually untrue. So I kind of scratched my head because the document itself, as I pointed out to the Zoning Board of Appeals, basically said that the judge was acting upon a joint motion, meaning the town and the applicant, to seek a remand of the case. And the judge made very clear by some interdelineations that it was not her action, that she was doing this at the request of the parties, and she made it very clear in handwriting that this wasn't the case. That kind of reminded me of Plymouth Rock Studios and some other issues, and so I decided maybe it was worth going into it further. If you want, I can kind of tell you the progression from there, if it helps.
Well, is there anything that you want to add in, Bobby? Is there anything that he made that he hasn't mentioned but that you've reported?
No, I don't think so. However, I think it is important to note that this meeting, rehearing, reconsideration of the case, which appeared on the Zoning Board of Appeals agenda in June, is a meeting that Jerry attended and during public comment at that meeting. He held up paperwork from the court stating the judge has not done this. The judge has no problem with your decision, which was to deny this special permit. So essentially, what is going on here? Which it appeared was new information to some of the members of the Zoning Board of Appeals.
If I can, let me kind of explain what happened at that meeting.
If you will. And again, we're speaking with Attorney Jerry Ben-Ezra, who's
trying
to talk with... No, no.
Yes.
But I just want anybody who might just be tuning in, it's a courtesy to them. And, of course, WAT's Bobby Clark is with us as well. So if you will, pick up from there, my friend.
Sure. So the next thing that happened was that Zoning Board of Appeals meeting was started with the chairman saying, we're hearing this on remand because the court had problems with our opinion.
Well, that's not accurate.
That is not accurate.
Right.
Matter of fact, it is inaccurate. So I kind of explained to them what usually happens in these cases. What occurred there, which is very interesting, was there was a great deal of confusion, has been reported in the press. Basically, four out of the five folks didn't know what they had done to authorize this, because I was saying, okay, who authorized town council? Yeah. I've now found the answer to that. I'll get to that a little later. But... So there was a great deal of confusion back and forth as to what had actually occurred. Now, before that, I had called the zoning office and spoken to their administrator. That may not be the right term, but she's the person who's in charge there. And she told me there had been no vote. So I asked her if there had been a vote in an executive session, because the fact that there's a vote is something that is not sure. covered. And I was told, no, there was no such vote. I asked if there were minutes. I was told...
That's where I was going to go next, because... You got to see the minutes, and you know you got to document what goes on in those minutes.
Through my Freedom of Information Act request, there were no minutes, and I'm going to get to how that's illegal in a number of different ways in a few moments. So the chair starts this out. There's confusion raised as to who gave authority to town council to agree to this motion. So it goes from there, and they decide they're going to have another hearing for an informational session so they can find out what happened. But another interesting thing happened there. One of the members of the board said that he had sought copies of the pleadings from town council and had been stonewalled. His term, not my term.
Stonewalled by the chair?
No, not by the chair.
Oh, by the town council.
By the town council.
Okay. Let me just back
sure,
up for half a second here. What exactly is Kingstown Trucking trying to do with, what's this project that they're involved with? Is there another party in here that we haven't mentioned? What is this project that they're looking to move this aggregate off of this woodlot? Do we know?
Well, it's county property, and it is thought that the county wants to erect a solar farm on that property, and it is implied that the 250,000 cubic yards of gravel needs to be removed in order
to
erect this solar farm. However, the Zoning Board of Appeals doesn't really deal with why this gravel needs to be removed. That is usually not a consideration of theirs, even though it's always mentioned. Mm-hmm. But they're concerned with, does this 250,000 cubic yards of gravel need to be removed? And what effect does it have on the surrounding area? Because you have
ecosystem or whatever. Yeah.
Well, not far from that area is a commercial area. The shops at 5. Nearby is Plymouth Community Intermediate School. You're going to have trucks and truckloads of gravel being removed and so forth for the possibility of a solar farm. That's the background that I can give you.
Is there any kind of underlying issue between perhaps, and I'm throwing this out there rhetorically, you want to answer it, so be it. If not, is there some kind of an underlying issue between the county and the town of Plymouth, and that the ZBA may be doing the bidding for the town fathers?
That's all speculation.
Okay.
We really don't know any of that.
And you can't deal in speculation.
We really don't know any of that.
I'm just curious, because usually, you know, there's a reason for everything. And you'd want Jerry seems like he wants to.
No.
If I can ask you, you sure. As an attorney, I mean, do you not ask yourself why we're seeing an issue like this where you've got a struggle, you've got a board that's trying to spin one thing, yet you find out something differently? What's the big deal behind this particular project that they don't want to give it a permit to let it move forward?
Well, let me give you facts, and then you can draw your own conclusions.
I like facts.
Yeah, I do too. You can't change the facts. You can get to spin them, but you can't change
them. Just the facts, man.
Exactly. So let's take a look at what's happened here. Basically, you have this proposal coming up a couple of years ago where the Planning Board voted unanimously to recommend to the Zoning Board of Appeals at that time that they deny the permit. This is a prior permit, same person, same area. Then they come back again and they go 4-1 to deny it. Now, the Planning Board has somebody who works for them who is the Planning Director. So now you have the Planning Board twice saying, we don't think this is appropriate. And yet, and this was something I got from a call that Lee Hartman made to me, and also statements he's made to me and to others, I think maybe in the press, he then goes personally to the Zoning Board of Appeals with a letter dated, I think, January 24th, from the applicant's attorney seeking a settlement. They go into executive session on that. They don't say it's about a settlement. They don't say that we're going in for the purpose of discussing whether or not we should change our mind. They go in and say, we're going to talk about litigation strategy. I think the facts are going to show that probably is not correct. Now what they do is, so now there's a third bite at the apple, so to speak. Now what happens is the morning of town meeting, there's another meeting. They don't talk about anything other than the fact that they're going in because they want to discuss strategy. I can give you the case law on that in a second, but let me tell you, that's not a...
Jerry, let me interrupt to explain.
Please.
That the morning of town meeting, an unusual session of the Zoning Board of Appeals was held. Town meeting usually starts at 8 o'clock in the morning, so this meeting would have had to take place before town meeting begins. So this is unusual that the Zoning Board of Appeals is called to a meeting, and in April, this is April, and the meeting, I believe, was called by Director of Planning, as well as a member of our town attorney, town council. So now the Zoning Board of Appeals at that meeting, of which there are no minutes, is presented with the fact that.
But isn't that a violation if you're not keeping proper minutes?
Yeah.
Is that something that somebody can bring forth?
Let me pick a complaint. Yeah. Let me pick up on those.
Let me just finish the thought. What I'm trying to explain is that now the Zoning Board of Appeals in this unusual meeting is presented with the fact that the court is asking you to rehear this case, which you have already denied.
Okay, so let's talk about the public body checklist for posting a meeting notice from the Attorney General's office. And let's assume the town council...
Repeat that?
It is a document entitled Public Body Checklist for Posting a Meeting Notice under the Open Meeting Law.
Yes.
Let's now assume for this purpose, say we have to deal with facts, but let's assume the town council that holds himself out to be an expert is aware of this.
It's immediate. What's the hours? You're supposed to have 48 hours?
Yeah, but here's the notice. The notice has to contain all the topics that the chair reasonably anticipates will be discussed at the meeting. The topics are sufficiently specific to reasonably advise the public of the issues to be discussed at the meeting, including executive session topics. They did not comply with that. Town council was at that meeting. So I scratch my head and say, gee, why didn't they comply with that from the very start? Why didn't they say we're going in to discuss whether or not we should have this case remanded? We're going in to discuss a proposed settlement that we've now has been turned down at a prior executive session where people weren't told that was a purpose for it. Then we go to the checklist for entering into it. And we have similar violations because there again, you're supposed to give all the facts that are necessary for the public to understand what you're doing. That wasn't done. The courts have said basically, and I know we're running out of time, but from memory,
you still got 10 minutes.
Okay, I've
just
got
make
some.
Share some time. Save some time for Bobby. Because
absolutely, let me just say this: the courts have said clearly that the core of a democracy is your ability to have accountability, and they consider the open meeting law to be at the very essence of democracy for obvious reasons.
Sure.
You need to be accountable. Bobby, do you want to say something? I'm sorry.
No, but we would, let's make sure we save time because again there is a meeting this Wednesday, right? Right, Bobby?
Well, what is interesting is that all this has taken place and the case is again on the agenda this Wednesday, I believe, at the Zoning Board of Appeals for reconsideration.
Go ahead.
I guess kind of as we continue to talk about this, you know, what do you think, and maybe it's inappropriate to throw the, you know,
speculate.
This type of stuff out there, speculate, but, you know, what is it, the ignorance in following, is the reason behind all of this an ignorance of the board to follow proper meeting law, or is there a motive,
protocol,
or is there a behind-the-scenes agenda of somebody on the board or a member of the town government?
Well, I think there are four or five violations of the open meeting laws, which I won't go into now, but I will be going into in the future. And I think what's happened here is I got faith in the board. You know, I don't know them that well, but I think they want to do the right thing. What's very clear to me is they're being manipulated, and from listening to them, they are not being told what the law requires. Now, this is a serious issue for them because they can be fined. So I'm looking at this and saying, if the Attorney General's regulations, the statutes, the case law is really clear, why is town council having them go forward on these issues where they don't properly notice them, where they just use this mantra, we're going in to discuss litigation strategy. I've got cases that say that that's bogus. You have to do more. I think you just heard what the Attorney General says about it. You've got to be much more specific. And then they don't have the minutes, which, by the way, the Attorney General says should be at the next meeting or within 30 days. Now we're
a timely manner, anyways.
Yeah,
it should be available at least hard copy. And if you're gonna put them up on a website or something, you should do them in a timely.
Well, they're gonna say that,
as well, from what I understand.
Yeah, but they're gonna say that these are executive sessions and they don't have to put them up. But the point is, not only did they not go back to themselves to approve them without maybe disclosing it, but they didn't even prepare them. So I mean, you start to see all these violations, and frankly, there's a history here which others will be looking at, where you've had similar activities with a lot of the same people. So, you know, you kind of scratch your head and you say, okay, are we going to assume, like I said to somebody recently, is it the stupid defense? You know, is town council going to say, gee, I wasn't aware of any of these things? Now, just to answer your question, though, because I want to be real clear, I think the board is not being well served. I think that the documents that I've seen now indicate that there are a number of arguments that could have been made and should have been made to the court in the original documents that weren't even touched on. And I'll be going into those in some detail on Wednesday. There is law they haven't seen. It's very interesting to me that in this one document that was filed with the court to kind of tell the court what this is about, and this will answer your question, you can draw your own conclusions from the facts, counsel, and I happen to know this law firm in town, they actually raised the issue of discretion. The discretion of the board, because they wanted to try to say, well, it doesn't really apply here. Well, we won't have time, but I will be raising these later. The courts talk about the fact that there's absolute discretion.
But is it you question town council and how they're advising their client? Is it just a matter of their interpretation as to what they're supposed to be doing? Does that make any sense to you?
Yes, it does. Let me say this. I don't believe that there is any interpretation of the case law or the Attorney General's regulations that support what they're saying. I don't believe that there's any interpretation of the issue of the discretion that a board has or the deference, I mean the substantial deference that's paid to a board that's ever been explained to this board. And I think those are facts. You can draw your own conclusions as to why they're not being given the facts.
But let me ask you this stuff. But what's in this for? What are you hoping in the end to eventually achieve with this situation? Is it a matter of that they're caught by the Attorney General and that there's some action taken on the state level? Is it a matter of making sure that the company that's being wronged, who's not given the permit, is given the permit? What do you hope in the end result will be? You're in this as kind of an outside party, hoping to, as an interested party, in seeing that there's been a number of missteps taken by this board.
And by others. Ultimate goal would be to have people look very critically at what's happening with town council. I'd have them look critically at what boards understand what they have to do under the open meeting law. And I'd understand that maybe the board should be given the opportunity to hire their own counsel. And maybe the third floor shouldn't control the council, because, you know, we tend as lawyers to look at where our bread is buttered, and then we do what they want.
Yeah, we're about to wrap up this segment, but we've been speaking.
Sorry.
No, don't, Jerry, don't apologize. I'm just doing the proper thing, letting folks know who they're hearing. Is Jerry, Attorney Jerry Ben Ezra, and WATD's star reporter for the town of Plymouth, Bobby Clark, who does a fantastic job. Bobby, you wanted to kind of say something, didn't
well,
you?
Well, I Jerry made the statement. I don't know if there's time for him to answer this, but I feel I have to ask it. He made the statement that the Zoning Board of Appeals is not well served. Well served by whom?
Well served by town council and possibly by others in town hall who are manipulating them and controlling the information they get, so that both they, like the public, are misinformed. I'm not talking about not being informed. I'm talking about being misinformed.
Could further action in your, as far as your legal opinion, what's going on here? Is there a possible suit that could be brought by, whether it's Kingstown Trucking or the county, regards to the actions that are taking place here?
I think the board was correct in its decision. Kingstown Trucking's permit was lawfully denied. I think the Attorney General's office will be looking into this and decide what's appropriate.
Bobby, did you want to say anything?
No, I think that about wraps it up. I think we've covered it very well in this time, and Jerry, you are intending to go to this meeting on Wednesday night?
I am, if they'll let me speak.
And what's the, as far as during the public comment section, do you think they'll let you get up and say something that they, who knows who hasn't heard you here or heard you during one of our news reports? Do you think they see you coming and go, oh no, the elephant is in the room. We don't know if we want to deal with this.
I'm hoping that if the chairman tries to limit the amount of time that I can have to explain to the board what the law really is, that the board, that the members of the board will vote to want to hear it. If they don't, then they're, you know, then there's accountability down the line.
And when is this meeting once again? Folks who might want to stay tuned for your report if you're going to do one, Bobby?
The Zoning Board of Appeals meets on Wednesday night at 7:30 at Town Hall. I don't know at what time this case is on the agenda, but the meeting begins at 7:30.
It's not televised, is it? Because not, I know not all meetings are televised.
You know, sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. So I'm not sure.
I would hope they'd arrange for a room where it was televised.
It's must-see TV?
Must-see TV if you want good government.
Bobby Clark, Jerry Benezra, I want to thank you both for being here this evening and being my guest and Joe's guest. And we're going to step aside. We hope all goes well. We'll look for an update from you, from both of you. We'll step aside, and when we come back, we're going to talk a little pigskin. It's Kerry J. Byrd right here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host Kevin Tachi on 95.9 WATD.